where Westport comes first for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Joining us right now is Nancy Lefkowitz, who is a selectman with the town of Fairfield and a very active, engaged member of the town. She's an active, engaged member in general of the community for many years. Nancy, did you know that I knocked on your mother's door? I can't say why, but I happened to run into your mother recently. Did she happen to mention that to you by any chance? It was
she
funny.
She didn't. No.
I met your mother and your father.
And you've even talked to my sister on your show. So it's
well,
a
your
whole,
your sister
it's a whole
is a warrior. Your
she
sister
really
is a warrior for women. She is.
She is.
Yeah, she really is.
And that comes from my mother. So hopefully you had a chance to talk to my mom about that.
Yeah, I've met your mother at various functions. I also met your father. I saw where you grew up. You grew up in a very pretty spot, I must say, Nancy. Very pretty.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm. And really, it is my upbringing that leads me in a way to where we are today. I was raised in a household where activism and taking action and repair of the world, tikkun olam is a phrase I use. It's a Hebrew word, which means repair of the world. And I got into politics because I wanted to make change. I wanted to have an impact on the health, safety, well-being of the community. And I got into politics as an RTM member 5 years ago, and won in a district that had never elected a Democrat because I really wanted to find, as left as I am in my own personal politics, I wanted to find a centrist approach to solving problems for the health, safety, and well-being of the community, and then ran for Board of Selectmen to have a broader impact. And when I threw my hat into the ring for that, I knew that the charter was going to be one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, that I was going to be tasked with, because we were up for a revision in Fairfield. And that's why I'm here today, to talk about that. And I don't actually know if you and I have spoken or if I've been on the show. I don't think so.
I don't think so, Nancy. So we've had Kathy Braun on quite a bit. We've had Brenda Kupchick on quite a bit. And various people in the town of Fairfield have consistently written to me and emailed to me throughout this process to let me know how they're thinking about different revisions along the way. Can you give us a summary of some of the initial things that had been proposed that are no longer on the table?
Well, I think the list has been long, and there were a lot of advocates and citizens and residents who reached out to talk about issues that were important to them. I can talk for me personally. I really advocated to have equity addressed in a real way. I advocated for issues of climate and sustainability to be included in a real way. And two of the issues that have impacted Fairfield additionally, the Phil issue, the Phil scandal that really has wreaked some havoc on the community. Mm-hmm. I don't think issues that might have prevented or could help avoid in the future have been addressed in this new proposed revision. And I think
Let's get specific about that. In what way does the charter as a written document, in what way do you think the charter itself could have prevented or could prevent in the future the kind of scandal? And for the listeners who are not familiar with what happened in Fairfield, there was a scandal of taking bribes, allegedly bribes and payoffs, and toxic dumping of a lot of ugly, poisonous chemical stuff that went under town fields and town property that wasn't discovered till later. And unfortunately, and the allegations may still be pending in criminal court, so I want to refer to them as allegations, but the allegations were that members and employees of the town of Fairfield colluded with private enterprise in order to allow this toxic dumping of property that was owned by the town in Fairfield. And it's been a terrible scandal, and it is actually erased a lot of trust that people had in their local town government. I think it's one of the reasons that Brenda Kupchick felt that she was elected in her new administration as a result of the Phil scandal. So, Nancy, how do you think the charter itself could have, or in the future could, prevent such a thing from happening?
Well, I think the charter really stands as our rule book for how we govern. And what checks and balances are in place. I don't know that we can say it would have avoided it altogether, but I think that it certainly deserved time and attention and a real forensic dive into the issue and how the charter could implement changes or what certain revisions could be added. And I don't think that that happened. I think certain oversights could have been added. Maybe it was a job. I'm not prepared to answer because I was not on the Charter Review Committee, but I do think that it's glaring that there isn't, for me, that there isn't anything that does address that specifically. So I think had we taken more time, which was afforded to us by state statute, in fact, we had many more months allowed to us per state statute than what the committee and ultimately the administration decided. It came to me as a Board of Select member that the time frame would be what it is, with no clear explanation that state statute allowed for more. Now, I'm a minority member. I may not have been in a winning position, but we never voted on or had the public discussion of what the time frame would be allowed. And there were many times around the table when we talked to the commission and to the administration, what about this issue? And the answer back was, well, we ran out of time. And so for me, that's just not a great answer, because there are still so many things that we haven't addressed, including...
Why do you think it was rushed, Nancy Lefkowitz?
I don't want to assign intent. I think that really is a question for the administration. What I can tell you is that the answer that came back around the table publicly was they've invested plenty of time. You know, it's been 9 months, a lot of hours, it's volunteer time. I would argue and say that, again, this is the single most important thing that we document, that we use, and it guides us, that it's worthy of time allowed by state statute. And so, again, I can't assign intent. We never had the discussion around the table, so I don't know. I can only tell you what was said, that plenty of hours have gone into it, and to me, probably not enough hours have gone into it.
Okay, so what right now are the objections? We're chatting with Nancy Lefkowitz, who is the selectman in the town of Fairfield. What is it that is being moved ahead that you want the people of Fairfield to know about? And when do they get a chance to vote on it? And how would you advocate that they vote or not vote at this point? What is it that you want people to know?
Well, what I want people to know is that as the minority select woman, my power and opportunity is to have these kinds of conversations, to educate people from my perspective, what I think the process has been, what the product is, and why ultimately I voted no at the Board of Selectmen table and why I plan to vote no at the ballot in November.
Okay.
Process matters. I think here the process has adversely impacted the product being the charter, because I don't believe that the charter meets the needs that we're facing as a community because of the issues I mentioned. As things stand, voters have been left with one question, one single question. I believe that the phrasing is misleading. It contains several, the charter itself, the proposed changes include several changes that are significant and contested. People don't like the word controversial, and that word was challenged a lot. I would say contested changes. And ultimately, because there's only one single omnibus question that says, yes, you agree with these changes or no, you don't. And I had advocated for multiple questions to be put before the voters, because I think the voters deserve an opportunity to have a say, to have a voice. I think giving a single omnibus question really disenfranchises the voters to have a say. So some of the proposed revisions in the charter include reducing the maximum size of the RTM from 56 to 40, and it also strips the RTM of its authority to determine its own size. So that's one. There had been some agreement among the parties, and sometimes things get discussed behind the scenes, but in the end, what the voter will see in the question is reducing the size of the RTM to 40. The RTM currently stands at 40, but the language in the question is confusing, because it should be made clear that what this proposal does is reduce the maximum size from 46 to 40 and significantly strips the RTM of its authority to determine its own size. It reduces the charter, the proposed charter reduces the professional standards for the director of DPW. The administration has argued that you don't need somebody who is a licensed engineer. Some argue that you need to have a manager in place. But again, that should be something that the voters get to decide on because it was the source and subject of much contested conversation.
Yeah, I don't really understand why they diluted the educational requirements. Like, I just didn't understand the rationale for that personally. I didn't understand.
Again, the rationale was stated to be that they needed more of a manager in this position, not necessarily someone who's an engineer, because we have an engineer on staff. What I would say is that it's okay to have a difference of opinion. I didn't agree with the administration on the issues or the majority of the Board of Selectmen, but I did think that we should speak the truth audaciously, boldly, be honest about what we want rather than try to couch it in rhetoric. And I think this was one of those areas. Let the voters decide. I think two new positions were added, and in my estimation, they're costly positions that are codified. They report solely to the first select person. That is a chief administrative position and a chief of staff position.
Two
positions.
Wow.
So, it's my opinion that those positions should have to go through the budget process. There should be metrics in place because I think it gives more power to the position of the first select person without oversight that I think is appropriate, especially since they have been budgeted as line items in our budget. And in the former administration, those positions were, which was a Democrat in power, and I don't think this is about party, but I think it should cause us to sort of stop and say, wait a minute, they actually cut that position from the first select person's office, and now we're trying to codify it in the town charter. So the other thing is, another change is the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Financing, the Board of Finance holding joint budget meetings and the process around it.
Why would they hold joint budget meetings? The Board of Finance is elected by the town, right? It has its own mandate as an elected board. Why should it have to have a budget meeting with anybody?
I think it will still have the ability, that board will still have the ability to hold its own meetings, but the process has changed. And I think, again, the rationale, and you would have to have, you know, I don't like to speak for somebody else, but my understanding of the rationale is that it helps streamline the process. It means that department heads wouldn't necessarily have to come out twice and say the same things to different bodies. But to me, that's just a necessary part of a check and balance. This may be something that the community agrees with or not, but again, I think that the residents, the voters, had a right to weigh in. Another change, reducing the number of constables from 7 to 4 and converting them from elected to appointed. Now, there may be good rationale for it, but again, another very contested, asked about issue. And then adding new rules of cooperation and civility.
What do you mean by that, Nancy Lefkowitz? What is that? That's a very general statement. What are you trying to say there? What does that mean?
Which statement?
New rules of cooperation and civility. What are these new rules?
So,
what are they?
So there is a clause that adds rules of how you conduct yourself at meetings and rules of civility. So there is specific language. I had initially voted to remove that language because, again, some feel that language could be used to squash necessary debate. We do function under the rules of Robert's Rules.
That's enough. Robert's Rules of Order is enough, and the First Amendment. What are we talking about?
I would also argue, having experienced some personal disrespectful behavior around the table, a resident not realizing he was on an open mic, used a profanity directed at me, and nobody challenged him, questioned him. So it's happening, whether you have the rules of order or not. I was referred to as she by the Charter Council when I was sitting right next to him. So I think we owe it to ourselves and the community to behave civilly and respectfully. Having that clause there was very concerning and confusing to me because, one, I just think that, again, the Roberts Rules of Order should be enough, and people should be respectful around the table. And then, again, what areas that I don't think it does cover are issues of diversity, equity, climate, sustainability, the fill issue, Board of Selectmen vacancies. And in the end, as I said, the process for me has been a real challenge. It has adversely impacted the product. As I said in the beginning, we did have more time afforded to us by state statute. We didn't take it. Could we have addressed some of these issues? Absolutely. I don't believe that from the beginning I was concerned about the membership of the CRC. I was not clear on what the goals and objectives were. I think that there weren't real metrics used to evaluate the changes proposed. And then, again, I had some issues, personal issues with the charter. Some of them I mentioned. And then in the end, that single up or down vote really disenfranchises the voters. So for those reasons, I did vote no at the Board of Selectmen table and plan to vote no at the ballot in November.
Well, thank you very much, Nancy Lefkowitz, for giving us your input and giving us your viewpoint of all of this. So is this ballot going to be on the general ballot for the November 8th election in Fairfield?
It is. Okay. It is. And when I challenged the council as to why a single question and I asked, was this typical, I was met with, well, I don't know, and yeah. And then I did, with the help of some residents, an analysis of ballot questions from 2016 up until last year. And the rationale for one question was given that it would be very confusing for the voters. That was one real reason they gave. And the facts are, in that five-year period, the average ballot questions when there was a charter review in, I think, about 62 municipalities, the average ballot number of ballot questions was 4. And in some cases, some things passed and some didn't, which just shows that voters don't get confused. They actually do their homework.
Sure.
And I think it really does a disservice to the voters, too. And it's really not.
Well, it may do a disservice to the Charter Revision Commission, because in doing it this way and asking people for an up or down, you're asking people for a down. Kathy Braun, who's a noted Republican, is asking people for a down. This looks like a bipartisan, people coming not necessarily based on their parties. Some people are not happy with it. Now, it may be that the vast majority of people are happy with it. But listen, by doing an up or down, they've also taken a risk. They've made it very easy for people who are antagonistic to it to just say vote no. Vote
yeah.
No.
And I think you make a great point that this is not one party against another. I think it's people advocating for what's fair and right. And it's not about Democrats wanting one thing and Republicans wanting another. It has been unaffiliated voters who've reached out, and Republicans and Democrats really advocating for what's in the best interest of the community, which is to put it to them to decide. And I think in the beginning, transparency and voter engagement was a rallying cry of what the process would be. And in the end, the voters have been denied an opportunity, not only because the process was rushed, but denied an opportunity to have a say on the various issues that have been contested all along.
Nancy Lefkowitz, thanks for joining us today on the Lisa Wexler Show. Appreciate it. Take care, and thanks for being with us. Lisa Wexler. Thank you very much for joining us today. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.